Now, I want each of you to actually think about people in your family that you love right now who are not saved. I want you to see their faces. Think of someone. Get a couple of names in your mind. Who is it? Family members that you know that may not know Jesus Christ. And listen, if we say nothing, what happens? So we got to stop thinking about ourselves, because fear makes you only think about yourself. Fear makes you say, well, what will happen? I'm too embarrassed. You know, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to think this or that. No, stop thinking about yourself and think about their salvation. Let's keep going. He also tells him to work at telling the good news. So to be a Christian doesn't mean just to go to church. It doesn't mean just to read your Bible. It doesn't mean to just wait for the appearing of Jesus Christ. It means to work. There is work to do. So you are ministers and you have work to do. So not just the work of coming to church and hearing a message and singing songs, but there's an actual work that God is expecting you to do. And what he's expecting us to do is to tell others the good news. And if we're honest with ourselves, how many of us could say, you know what, I'm very satisfied with the work that I'm doing to tell others about Jesus Christ? Because what we don't want to happen is for the Lord to come back and we stand before him and he say, why didn't you do the work? God gave me this sermon, this message series called Fulfilling Ministry. He's soon to come. And we have a work to do by telling people about Jesus Christ. What happens after that is on them. But all you have to do is deliver the good news that Jesus Christ saves. Why are we doing this? Because by doing so, you will fulfill the ministry that God has given you. Let's look at verse 6. This is what it sounds like to be on the to hear the sound of a man that is dying who is righteous, right? Remember, today's sermon title is A Life for a Life. And we've just got to be sure that we have truly given our life for this. Jesus gave his life for us. His ministry was his life. And if we're going to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've got to be all in and give him our whole life, right? All to him. And listen to what it says. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. What was his offering to God? His what? His life. Jesus gave us an offering, and it was his life. And Paul is telling us that to fulfill ministry, that we must also give God our life. But our problem is this. When we are selfish, we only want to add God to our life. We don't want to give God our whole life. We want God to say, well, I need you to bless me, and I need you to heal me, and I need you to do this, and I need you to that. But Paul says, no, that's not the fulfillment of ministry. The fulfillment of ministry is when your life is poured out to God as a sacrifice. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like, and we emulate and imitate Christ. And what Christ did was pour out his life for us. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Church, I love you so much, and God loves you so much, that you've got to check your life against this testimony right now. Like, can you honestly say this? Like, if today was your last day, can you say this? My life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. That's what it's like to fulfill our ministry. So Paul's life is an example of a fulfilled ministry. As he says, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. So here's our life in a cup. All that we have, all the time, the seconds, the moments, the days that we have, it's supposed to be tilted this way. Because we're offering it all to God as a sacrifice because of what he has done for us. Ministry requires sacrifice. Church, can you say sacrifice? You have to give up something. If you're going to be a minister of this gospel, it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you the same thing that it cost Jesus. And you know what? Man, this is a heavy message to deliver because I understand that it's very expensive to do this, to really give Jesus your whole life. And now it makes sense, church. And I love you, but I got to tell you this. Maybe that's why the Bible says that as it relates to life and life eternal, only a few of us will find it. Very few. So what are the few doing right now? Their lives look like this. They're giving it to God. Now, I'm guilty of giving it to TikTok sometime. I'm guilty of giving it to Facebook. I'm guilty of giving it to the NBA. I'm guilty of giving it to work. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to say, you know what? My life is poured out for God, right? It's God. It's for God I live and for God I die as well. Because we have to be imitators of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the righteous barely make it in. Barely make it in. So church, I refuse to be a lukewarm pastor, and I refuse to pastor a lukewarm church. So if you're going to be here, you got to be all the way in. Well, like, we're here to get ready for heaven, right? And to tell others about Jesus Christ. So that's the reason that the church exists. So death, what death equals is a poured out life. I think of my father, who passed away several years ago. And as I preached his funeral, I said that it is better to wear out than to rust out. Right? Like, just give it all to God. Like, that's the way you got to treat your life. Like, God is all yours. I'm giving it all to you. And everything that it costs, I'm giving it to you because you're worthy of it. So how then do we fulfill ministry? Paul showed us three things. Number one, we have to fight the good fight of faith. Saints of God, it's a fight. Serving God is not easy. Turning your cup over to pour out your life to God is not easy, because sometimes we would rather watch television. Sometimes we would rather have fun and do these things, but my life and your life doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to God. And there must be a willingness to turn it over and say, God, it's yours. How may I serve you? I'm so sorry. There's a dangerous brand of Christianity floating around. There's a dangerous brand of Christianity flowing around, and it's not the true gospel. The true gospel costs you everything. It costs you your entire life. It's not just a prayer that you pray at the altar and say, Jesus, save me and forgive me of my sins. It's way more than that. You've got to be willing to die for Jesus. And we don't know what's going to happen in this country soon. We know that the enemy hates us, right? The enemy wants to destroy us. So we don't know how close we are to coming to this building and there's chains on the doors and you can't come and worship freely anymore. Because if the devil had his way, that freedom would be gone. There would be no freedom of religion. It'd just be gone. So just like abortion is legal and you can murder babies, it's the enemy's desire that church be illegal too, and you not be able to come here and you not be able to worship. So we must understand that we have to be ready to die for this thing. We don't know how close we are to them gathering up Christians and saying, denounce Jesus Christ or die. On this soil, we think that's so far away, but the devil is everywhere. The Antichrist spirit is everywhere. We don't know how close we are to having to bow and say, denounce Jesus or you die. Are you ready for that? Are we ready for that? Are we ready to say, you know what? No, I will not renounce Jesus. It's easier to say, I will not renounce Jesus, I'd rather die, when your cup's already been pouring out the whole time. you know what, this life isn't mine anyway. And I have a revelation that when I die, that when this spirit or soul leaves my body, that I will be in the presence of God Almighty. That is why you must fight the good fight of faith. In order to be a finisher, in order to fulfill your ministry, the first thing that Paul told Timothy was fight the good fight of faith. Church, it's a fight. Every time you leave your house, it's a fight. Every time you wake up in the morning, it's a fight. A fight to put God first. A fight to do what is righteous. A fight to not please yourself, but to please God. Fight the good fight of faith. And then he told Timothy this, finish the race. We've all started it, or most of you wouldn't be in this building right now. But don't just start it, finish it. Finish this race. Because only God sees the stopwatch or the clock of our lives. So, Sister Ida, we got to keep running. We've got to keep running. In a race, they know their time. But in life, we don't know our time. So the Bible says, keep running and finish the race. Listen, I know it gets harder and harder to be a Christian. I know it gets harder and harder to do the right thing. I know that there's people in your family, sometimes people in your own house that don't love Jesus the way that Jesus requires himself to be loved. But you must run the race. Even, listen, we don't stop for anyone. This message is a message that we say, come back to God. As we are running this race and as we are headed to heaven and to righteousness, we're telling others to come back to God. Just because they stop and they decide that, you know what, I'm not sure about God, we stay sure about God and we finish the race and we don't give up. Church, can you say this with me? I won't give up. Come on. If there's breath in your body, that means, whoo! If there's breath in your body, there's gotta still be some fight in you. Do you understand? That if you're still breathing, then that means you gotta keep fighting the good fight of faith, even on our deathbed. Even when we don't even know where death is, we have to keep remaining faithful and not give up. And the offering of our life comes with a prize. Every runner runs the race for a prize. Listen to the prize. And now, and this is how I want to die. You should want to die with some surety. You should want to die with some backbone. You should want to die and say, you know what? I have fought the fight. I have finished the race, just like Paul said. And now, church, can you say, and now? Man, what a glorious moment that is to be at the end of your life and know that you gave it all for God and you're about to die and there's an and now that you can say. And Paul said, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So my question is this, church, how eager are you for God? Our lives are being, I've got a leaky faucet at home right now that I need to fix in the bathroom. The half bath right by the washer and dryer, that thing drips and drips and drips. And I know I need to fix it because I know it's costing me something, right? Church, fix your drips. Fix your drips. Where's your life dripping in places that it won't mean anything? Spending so much time on this thing and this drip is just going nowhere. Nowhere. We got to fix the drips and allow them to be poured out to God as an offering. Oh, God, how serious are we? How serious are we is the question. All right, that was the finish of Paul. Let's look at the finish of Jesus. Let's go to John 17, verses 1 through 8. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed right before they came to get him. Right before he was about to be betrayed, he knew he was about to die. Come on, we need to live our lives in a way that we know we are about to die. Now, yes, we love life, and I don't want you to be morbid, but we should have an expectation that we could go at any moment. Do we understand that? Put a thumbs up if you just heard what I said. You should have an expectation that you could go at any moment. My dad lived to 70. That doesn't mean I'll get to 70. I don't know when I'm going to leave, but I'm packed. Do you understand that? You got to be packed. When it comes to eternity, you can't be getting ready. You've got to be ready. You've got to live ready. You can't put righteousness in your future. You can't say, I know there's some things that I need to clean up. You've got to say, no, God, work on me now. Save me now. Forgive me now. Fix me now. I want to be ready to go. Because the Bible says that Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night. And no one knows, he doesn't even know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows. So at some point in history, the Father's going to lean over to the Son and say, it's time. And the Bible says a trumpet will sound. And the dead in Christ will rise from their graves. And we who are alive will meet him in the air. The time is coming. But you've got to be able to say, the time is now. The time is now. I'm ready now. I'm not getting ready. I'm ready now. Because there's nothing, there's no sin in all the earth that is worth missing eternity with God. Can you imagine the stupidity of being caught up in a sin that will cost you all of eternity? It is not worth it. So we say, Father, help me now. Be gracious to me now, God. Forgive me now of all of my sins. Wash me with your blood now. I want to be ready now. Church, say this with me. I'm ready. Come on, that's how you've got to live. You've got to live like that. You can never, when it comes to your soul, you can never be getting ready. You can never say, I'm working on it. No, no, no. He said, it is finished when he died on the cross. Everything that needed to be done for our salvation was done in that moment, and we just have to have faith on him. So there's Paul at the end of his life saying, Timothy, fight the good fight. Come on, fight the good fight. Finish the race, right? Do all these things that are needed for you to receive the crown of life. Let's look at the finish of Jesus now. How did Jesus finish? What were some of his last words? Listen to what he said. John 17, verses 1 through 8. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Remember, Paul's on his deathbed talking to Timothy. Now Jesus knows he's about to be crucified. He's talking to the Father. What's it sound like to finish? What is the sound of a finisher? He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. That's what ministry is. Ministry is what God has given you, you give to others, right? So verse 2. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. What does he give? Eternal life. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Verse 4, I brought glory to you here on earth by doing what? Completing the work you gave me to do. Finishing it. Church, say this with me. I am a finisher. Please listen very carefully to me. Don't be afraid of dying, none of you. Do not be afraid of dying, because the Bible says that righteous in the Lord's sight, or precious in the Lord's sight, is the death of the saints. Don't you dare be afraid of dying. Don't be afraid of dying. If you live with the fear of dying, let it go, because you don't know where it is. You don't focus on death. You focus on life, because we don't die. We just go straight to life again. Do you understand? The bodies fall asleep, right? But to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So why fear death? Death is just a door that gets you into the presence of God. Death is just a door that helps you leave time and go and step into eternity. So don't fear death. When you know God, you don't fear death. No different than when you go to bed at night and you go to sleep, right? I better not think about food or sleep right now. They both sound really good. But you lay your head on that pillow with an expectation to get up in the morning. Listen to me, sons of God and daughters of God. you should live with an expectation that when you die, you're going to get up again, right? That death does not have the final say. Jesus came to this earth and he took the power away from death and the grave. Death does not have the final say. Man, I don't know how I got there, but Holy Spirit's taking me a lot of places. He's driving fast right now. All right, so we are on verse 4. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. The title of this series is Fulfilling Ministry. So to fulfill ministry means that we complete the work that he gave us to do. So if you ask me when I'm going to die, I'm going to say I'm going to die when I complete the work that he gave me to do. And not a moment sooner and not a moment later. And God is in control of that. So I don't know when my life runs out. But we just turn that cup over and we just keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And when it's gone, we have the testimony of, I completed the work that God has given me to do. Say this with me. I am not afraid of dying. Come on, Jesus took that fear away, right? Death does not have the final say. Let's keep going here. Verse 4. I brought glory unto earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. Verse 6, I have revealed you. Say this with me. Ministry is revelation. So ministry is the revealing. So many of you have been saved and you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you have received the gospel message and repented of your sins and now you have eternal life. But you're not done yet because you've got to reveal this life to other people. You've got to show yourself to people and show that you're alive and once you were in sin, but now you're not, okay? So there's a gentleman on the back row. He's going to look up in a moment at me. His name is Adam. There he is, very slowly looking at me. All right. I went to school with Adam. Can we say welcome, Adam? His handsome son is with him this morning as well. So Adam knows the old me. And I know the old Adam. But praise God, I got to meet the new Adam in Christ, and he got to meet the new me in Christ, right? And that's the beauty of it, right? I praise God that that's my friend from school, and God has saved him, and he saved me too. But it didn't always look like this. When we came together, it wasn't for these kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about. But God has saved us, and ministry is revealing what God has done. So we still pray for some of our brothers that don't know Jesus Christ yet. We still try to get around them, right? Because ministry is a revel. I must reveal, right? Verse 6, I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. So ministry, brothers and sisters, is when you reveal God to the world. And are you doing that? Because you're not a minister unless you do that. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. Church, say this with me. Now they know. So, man, that feels so good. Remember when I said picture someone that you love that doesn't know Jesus, and your work is to reveal Jesus to them, after it's done, you get to say, now they know, right? You don't save them. You don't do the transformation. The power is in the gospel. The power is when you share what Jesus did from them. There's power. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you share that message, you reveal God to them, and you can say, now they know. Verse 7, now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. Man, this is what the end of a minister's life sounds like. I have passed on to them the message you gave me. You want to finish well? This must be the testimony, your daily testimony, as Pastor Jim said, we shouldn't wait to the end of our lives expecting a well done. Every night you lay down, you should say, God, I did it for you. And I pray that it was done well, all right? I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. That was the finish of Jesus' life. He gave them the message. I'm here to tell you today that if God saved you, he wants you to be a minister, and you have a message to deliver to the world. Are we ashamed of the message? Please say no. Are we ashamed of the message? So what's going on? Why aren't we sharing the message then? Because there's a spirit that God didn't give us that's keeping the message under a bushel. And that spirit is called fear. And fear must be broken off of every single one of us so that we can fulfill our ministry. So, Father, I pause right now to pray for these people. Lord, you desperately want this world to be saved. And if the only thing that is us is a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So we speak fear off of us now in Jesus' name. Church, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I rebuke and renounce the spirit of fear off my life in Jesus' name. I thank you for the Holy Spirit and power and love and a sound mind. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, what does your finish sound like? What does your finish sound like? I guess this will be a part one and a part two message because I'm not even close to done. But the Lord said what he needed to say with what I've given you so far. But what we need to focus on right now is your finish. We talked about the finish of Paul and what it sounded like at the end of his life. He said, my life has already been poured out as an offering for God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. That's what the end of Paul's life sounded like. He was a finisher. Jesus was also a finisher, and he said this at the end, I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed. That means past tense. That means that I have done it. I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know I came from you, and they believe you sent me. Paul fulfilled his ministry. He was telling Timothy, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Do this work. He even told him to be a good soldier at one point. Jesus, he finished his ministry. But now we come to you. What about you? What does your finish look like? Well, actually, our finish always looks like our present. Our finish always looks like our present, right? Because if we don't know where death is, right, then at this present time, wherever I am is my finish. So what you have to understand is that you've got to live your life as if you're crossing the finish line at every moment. You can't be waiting to get ready, but you've got to say, God, everything that's holding me back, many of the times the things that hold us back are the things that we're holding on to. If you would just let go of those things, you would see that you're able to run the race and finish it. So important to understand. So here's our finish. Philippians 1:16. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work
until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, where did God start a good work, church? Where's that good work happening right now? It's happening in us. God has began the good work within you, and he will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Please stand to your feet this morning. The finish. It's not how you start. The race is not given to the strong nor the swift, but to he that endures to the end. And we just don't know where our end is. Man, I wish we all, you know what? I don't wish we knew. Because if we knew we lived to 85, we would probably live recklessly all the way up to 85 and then say, okay, God, you can have me now. After I've used up my life and did everything I wanted to do, now with the rest of it, I'll give it to you. But God didn't make it that way. We should always be aware of how frail our life is, right? Our life is like the flame on a candle, and the wind is constantly blowing at it. And at some point, that flame will be extinguished, and you will have to leave this body. So, church, I implore you, I beg you, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be ready and to live ready. And the reason that you must live ready is because people are watching you. Your life is an open book, and people are watching you. You're the only Bible they'll ever read. To some people, you're as close to Jesus as they will ever get. Do you understand that? So that is why we must stay ready and not be getting ready. Father, I pray for these ministers right now of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would empower them to be ready. Some of us are going through some things, God, and we're tired of them. But Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name that by your Holy Spirit, that you would allow faith to arise in us so that we would fight the good fight of faith, so that we would finish the race, so that we would remain faithful. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.